How's everybody tonight? Good? All right, pray for us, sister. All right? I am so excited about praying the Psalms. You know why? Because there are a gazillion of them. And so we have great opportunities to find Psalms that minister to us. Amen? And I bet everybody in here knows at least one Psalm, right? All right, so let's talk about what are the Psalms. Anyone know what the Psalms are? We're going to participate. Songs, okay. Songs, did I hear someone say promises? Okay, what else? Poems, I heard. Prayer, I heard. What else? Praise, I heard that. Devotion. Somebody said devotion. Revelation. Anybody have anything else? I heard somebody.
Petition.
Very good. All right. Awesome. So, these are sacred psalms, they're sacred poems, and when they were written, they were meant to be sung. They were songs of praise, they were songs of petition, they were even songs of lament and sorrow, right? But most individual psalms involve what one of you said, the praise of God, right? So if you have a hard time praising him, like one of the things that Pastor Pascal did last week was ask you to come up with words from A to Z, and many of them were praise words, just about how great he is, right? But you can always go to the Psalms as well and see if you need to praise him. There's an opportunity to do that, right? So here's the deal about Psalms. Most individual Psalms involve praise for God, for his power, his benevolence, his creation of the world, and for his acts of deliverance for Israel. Would you like me to repeat that? Most individual psalms involve the praise of God for his power, benevolence, his creation of the world, and for his past acts of deliverance for Israel. The Psalms envision a world in which everyone and everything will praise God, and God will in turn hear their prayers and respond. Do you hear that? That's what the Psalms envision, that you will pray, petition, cry out, thank, he will hear and respond. There's action. You have an action, and then he has an action. Amen? The book of Psalms was written for several reasons. I want you to write this down, okay? Some of them, remember their songs, right? So some of them were written to be sung at the temple, just to worship him and praise him for his greatness. Others were to thank him for his attention toward you, toward Israel, toward the body, because that's who we are now. We're the body. We may not be Israel, but we're the body, right? And others were for him pledging his help to help you survive the situations you find yourself in. To help you survive the situations that you find yourself in, you're going to praise him and thank him no matter what the circumstances look like. And I can tell you, my psalm, this is my psalm forever for the rest of my life, Psalm 27, forever. And we'll read a couple of different versions, but I felt the pain of the beginning of that song, psalm, and I felt the here's who you are, and then at the end there's a part where, like, I'm gonna hold on despite all of that stuff and because of who you are. And I know if I hang on, you'll prove yourself faithful. Amen? All right, so what types of psalms are they? We got praise, which is what we got, right? Wisdom. If you're taking notes, write this down. Wisdom. And let's read Psalm 1. Can you guys turn in there? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. That's the man who doesn't walk in ungodly counsel. God's given us wisdom here. Don't walk that way, walk this way, because if you walk this way, here is the result. You will have fruit. You'll be planted like a tree by the water. Do you know what a tree that has a water source is like? It will never wither and fade. You will have everything that you need if you're like a tree planted by the waters. Amen? But you have to walk in godly counsel, wisdom. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Just takes a little wind, blow it away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That is a psalm that is giving you wisdom. Here's what you should do, and if you do that, these are the results. If you walk the different way with ungodly counsel and you're ungodly, then you can expect this. So there should be no surprises, right, for us who are believers, that when we make our choice, we know what the consequences will be. Some of the challenges for those of us who are still working out some things is we don't like the consequences. And then we question God. Nope, he's already told you. He's been very clear. He hasn't made it a mystery, right? And so you can't look at him. Now you got to look at you. And once you look at you, you got to decide if you're going to do anything. And once you decide if you're going to do anything, you have to decide exactly what you're going to do. Because I could look at it and decide I'm going to deny that that's true about me. That the consequences are not my fault. That they're not based on my ungodly decisions. I can just pretend. Right? Or if I want to grow, I can take God at his word, believe it, own my junk, and then change it, right? All right, guys, I'm not walking with y'all no more. Y'all are cool and fun, and we have a great time every time we go out, but I always end up with this consequence. I don't like it. So guess what? Y'all are cool and fun. I'm going to pray for y'all, but I'm going to go walk with these two brothers because they're walking. They're the godly, all right? So you got choices. Or I can just be like, hey, these guys are a lot of fun. I know there's consequences, but God will forgive me, so I'm just going to hang out with them. Yeah, we do it. We've all done it at some point, right? It's all about choices. You chose him, right? And now every week there's a book, there's a word, there's a Bible, there's a friend, there's a minister, there is something online where you have an opportunity to grow. And you can choose it or you cannot choose it. There's a class here. You can choose it, right? But I know, I already know, if I hang out with these cats, I'm in trouble every week, right? Can't blame God. I love y'all. I know I'm not going to get in trouble with y'all. You kind of scare me, though. I'm just joking. But there are consequences. And what's so great about God is that he will tell you, hey, y'all, don't go that way. And then you're like, I'm just going to do it. And then when you get the consequences, you're like, this always happens to me. I had a friend who would say that. And I would say, yeah, because you always make that decision. It's not like it's sort of happened. You chose. You always make that choice. So you can have something different. Amen? Wisdom. We did praise. We did wisdom. You know what you didn't say? There are psalms about royalty, right? There are psalms about royalty. And we'll take a look at it. Write down Psalm 2, 45, and 110. Okay? And then there are songs about thanksgiving, which I didn't see. Thanksgiving. And when I give you these psalms, they are not all of the psalms that are about that subject. Because there are how many psalms in the book of Psalms? What'd you say? A buck 50. He is right. 150 psalms. I wish we had time to visit them all, but we don't. Thanksgiving, write these down. Psalm 34, 117, 118, 135, 136. I could have chosen anything, really, but I felt like these are the ones the Lord wanted me to share with you. Okay? I'm sure there are a lot more down under the hundreds. And then there are Psalms of Lament. Does anyone know what lament means? Sorrow, sadness, mourning. How many of have you read David's Psalms and he starts out that way, right? It's never a good story. It's always like he's crying out like, oh my God, right? And within the Psalms, there are four kinds of prayer. Four kinds of prayer. You ready? Adoration. Father, you're so great. You delivered us from, right? Number two, contrition. Contrition. Oh, let me give you some psalms for adoration. 5, 26, 31, and 116. And let's turn to 5. I'm a big electronic girl, so please have patience for me. I'm going to be reading now the King James Version, okay? Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For to you I will pray. My voice you shall hear in the morning. In the morning I will direct it to you and I will look up. You are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you. But let all those who rejoice put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy, because you defend them. Let those who also love your name be joyful in you. For you, O God, will bless the righteous. With favor, you will surround him with a shield. What I love about the Psalms is, starts out praising him, who he is, what he is. Now, here's the big problem in the middle. But nevertheless, this is still who you are. Amen? So, adoration, 5, 26, 31, 116. You guys got that? Awesome. Contrition. Does anybody know what contrition is? Ask Siri. Humility. Okay, what else? I know somebody else has a definition. What does it mean to be contrite? Remorseful. Who said something about doing something wrong? So remorseful. Let's look at Psalm 34. Remember, we're praying the word, right? So we need the word. We're going to do a lot of turning tonight. Amen? I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in him. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me. I sought the Lord and he heard me. How many of you can say that in this room? Come on now. Come on. I sought the Lord and he heard me. And if you can't raise your hand yet, you're going to be able to. You'll be able to tell the difference between, is that me, is that the enemy, or is that God? And how are you going to do that? You've got to get in his word. That is the primary way that he speaks to us. Great to have awesome Bible teachers like Pastor Pascal. Great to have great evangelists who can call you to repentance and come to Christ. All those things are necessary. But you have to have a personal relationship with him. See how Pastor Harry and I talk? We work together here every day. Y'all would be like, really? But we have our own little, we got kids the same age. We like some of the same things. So we have our own little way. But I don't talk to him the same way I talk to Lisa Daly. And we have our own little way of communicating. And the Lord knows how you like to communicate. And what gets your attention? Now, I'll tell you, the Lord yokes me up. He's not soft. He's not like, "Oh, honey, you got to get that right." You know what he'll say to me? "What business is it of yours? Who told, hush your mouth." Sometimes just flat out shut up. Because he knows that's my language. I need tough love. I need someone to yoke me up. If God was like, "Oh, sugar, it's going to be okay." He knows I would be like, "Shut up." Like, seriously. I'll tell you, this is how I know God knows me. When I was dating my husband, we've been married almost 20 years now. And we were just dating. And I don't even know what I did or said, but clearly it was bratty. We were just sitting on the couch talking. And my husband literally turns from the TV, looks at me and says, "Stop being bratty," turns right back to the TV and never says another word. Nothing. And I was like, hey, he might be able to hang. Because that's how I need God to talk to me. And that really was the first time that I was like, this might be the guy. Because it didn't even move him. But God, that's how God talks to me. Now, he talks to you differently. You might need, right? Everybody needs something different. So if you've not heard him answer your cry, your relationship is not strong. You don't know the word quite enough yet. And then sometimes you just have to have the confidence to say, well, it couldn't have been me because I don't really want to do that. And the enemy wouldn't have me do something good. So I'm just going to, me and God, okay, I'm going to do that. So sometimes even if you don't trust yourself yet, you got to trust him. Okay? So the next time we come in here in about 3 weeks, everyone's going to raise their hands. Right? Oh, I got so excited. Now I'm all lost. Hang on. I sought the Lord. He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Amen. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to those who fear him. And there's a lot more left to the rest of this psalm. Okay? You guys can read it after. Now, I said there were four kinds of prayer. Adoration, contrition, thanksgiving shows up in here as well. Thanksgiving. And you already have a bunch of psalms for that. And then the fourth one is this. Supplication. Supplication. What does that mean? Supplication. Request. Petition. Right? How many of us spend a lot of time making requests and petitions? And it's not always on your behalf, right? If you're an intercessor, you're praying for somebody else. You're praying for deliverance. You're praying for peace. You're praying for health. You're praying for wisdom. You're praying for guidance. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with that. But remember it in light of what Pastor Pascal taught last week in the form of where does it come in the process. We're going to talk about God and all his goodness first, right? Not just, okay, Lord, I need a new car, I need a new house, I need my kid to stop acting stupid, right? Stop growing because I can't afford new shoes every 6 months. There's nothing wrong with that. Write these down. Psalm 4, 28, 86, 102, and 143. And I'm just going to pop back to 4, since we're not that far away. Remember, they're saying to him, I know who you've been to me. Every time they worship him and praise him, they're saying, I know who you are, and you're this God for me, not just for Sister Suba. You'll answer my prayers too. And sometimes when you're praising him, it gives you the courage. It builds up your faith to make a petition. Sometimes you have to recall who he is so that the big ask you have, by the time you get to that, it's not such a big ask. You can ask him and have confidence that he hears you. All right, Psalm 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. You've helped me before. Not because it's me, but because of you. You have helped me before. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. Psalm 4 takes you back to Psalm 1 that tells you all about wisdom and walking with godly and ungodly. And we know the results. What are the results of walking with godly counsel? What are the results? Not everyone at once. Come on. Say it again. You'll be like a tree planted by the water, which means all your needs are supplied. Amen? What else? He hears your prayer. What else? Yes, you'll be rooted, right? Awesome. What else? You'll have peace. But what happens if you walk with ungodly counsel? What happens? Chaos, all right? What else? Say it, someone say it louder. Torment. Destruction. Confusion. Very good. Because sometimes we're just destroyed by confusion. Like you don't just don't exist anymore. Sometimes you just don't know what to do. And in not knowing what to do, you're not moving. So if the enemy can get you to stand still and be confused about what the next thing is, he's not worried about you. He doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to destroy you. Doesn't have to attack your family. Doesn't have to do anything because you're not moving. You're no longer a threat. Amen? You guys are awesome. All right. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Who believes that? Verse 3. The Lord will hear. Let's clarify. The Lord has heard. How many believers in here? All right. He heard you when you called him and said, I surrender. I'm giving it all up for you. I know my life is a funky mess. I don't even know what to do with it. He heard you. The word says no one can come unto him unless he calls them. He wooed you, then you cried out, and he heard you, and now y'all have the nerve to be in here growing, right? Trying to get to know him better, try to walk in your destiny, right? He hears you when you call. He hears you, and it doesn't have to be prim and proper Bible language. Sometimes I'm just like, come on, God. For real? I mean, sometimes that is my cry. Like, for real. and then we begin the discussion, right? Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. What are you going to meditate on? The word. I heard someone say the word. What else? Say it again loud. God, okay. Say that again. His faithfulness. His righteousness. All those A to Z's that Pastor Pascal gave you last week, right? It doesn't mean meditate on the problem. See, some of us go to bed and that's all we do is think about the problem. But it says, meditate within your heart on your bed. What is in here, y'all? What is in your heart about him and about how he feels about you? What's in there? Because I can tell you, there are things that you could tell me, I'd be like, yeah, Jehovah Jireh, I already got that. There are other things that can rock me a little bit, right? And I got it in here, but I got to like really bring it out and meditate on it. Because there are things that can just knock you for a loop that you weren't expecting, you know? But what's in your heart? What are you putting in there? Are you spending more time on Facebook than you're spending in the Word? Pinterest. Projects. Right? Because when you need it, it's got to be in there. It's hard to go to battle when you're in the middle of the battlefield and you forgot your gun. And you forgot your grenade. You don't even have your Kevlar on. It's hard to win then. Not impossible, but you're going to get wounded. You're going to suffer some wounds. What's in your heart? Because that's what you're going to be meditating on. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. I just want you to ask yourself really seriously. You don't have to raise your hand. Do you 100% trust him? Not for your Aunt Mary, not for your Grandma Cindy, not for your uncle who's the preacher, but for you. Do you trust him? 100. And if the answer's no, you are in the right place doing the right thing. So that soon your answer can be yes. Amen. All right. Do you see how you can get lost in the Psalms? It's just so easy, the word, right? There are many who say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of your countenance upon us. You have put gladness in my heart. More than in the season that their grain and wine increased, I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. You alone, make me dwell in safety. Amen? I love the word. So this is what we're going to do. We are going to break. How many groups did we do last time? 3 or 4? Let's break into some small groups, and then I'm going to give your assignments. And you guys are the same people who sat in the front last time, so we're going to get some other people. So this little group right here, 3 rows. This little group right here, 3 rows. Oh, yeah, come on. The good thing is you it's not going to be you by yourself. You got friends. You got other believers. And they're not going to make you come to the front. It's awesome. All right, this group, 3 rows. Okay? And we're going to throw you in for good measure. Get yourselves together in groups. Come close to the front. Someone bring paper. Someone bring a pencil. We did not forget you on this side. Are y'all my teen challenge brothers? You guys were up here last week. All right, this little group, 5, 6, 7. You are my teen challenge brothers too, aren't you? I know it. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Final group, that includes you. And you guys can take notes and write down your answers too. All right, hustle up. I need group number one up here. Yes, sir. I know, everybody doesn't. There's way too many of you all. Group number one, bam. Come right here, little circle. Remember who you're with in your group. Okay. Do y'all, come on, yeah. Everybody, yeah, come on. Come on, right here. No, we need to hear you, because you're gonna need some room. So right here. Right here's good. If you guys need to sit, you can sit. I see we got a cast and a few. Sit. Take the front row. Where's my other groups? I see you guys. Where's my other little group? Come on, y'all. Come on. Y'all are not that shy. If you need to sit because of your leg, why don't you just start right there and you guys just make a circle around there. And someone must have a Bible. No, they need paper, pen, and a Bible. Paper, pen, and a Bible. And boldness. Amen? All right, this is what you guys are going to do. Are you ready? All right. You are going to find, not the Psalms that I gave you, but you're going to find Psalms that include praise, wisdom, thanksgiving, and lament. Got it? Thanksgiving, praise, worship, and lament. Praise, wisdom. I'm sorry, guys. It's going to be right on the board in red. And lament. And you only really... You guys only need one in each category, okay? One in each category. So You're probably going to pull out some of your favorite psalms, right? Everybody has a favorite. You just need one in each category. Yep. I know, that's the great thing about psalms, right? You just need one in each category. Okay? How we doing, guys? Good? Say that again. Mm-hmm. Because the problem is you could have 10. Mm-hmm. You guys are ready? Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready? You guys are ready for real? Awesome. Excellent. Everyone's ready? All right, groups 1 through 4, you guys ready? You got to pick a spokesperson. And guess what? Somebody's going to have to read the psalm. All right? So send one of your reps. Whoever your representative is, send him or her. Ready? Who's your? You're gonna read it. Because guess what? There are some people who don't know what those psalms say. Or if you would like me to read it, I would do that for you. Okay? So I just need a rep. I just need a representative from your group. Don't look so scared. I need one. One person to tell us their four Psalms. I just need one person. Who's your representative? Yes, you can. Is it on? Awesome. Who's your representative? Everybody else can go sit down. We got her. Yep. 1, 2. I'm missing 2 people. No, she came from that group. I need 2 people, y'all. Ooh, they did pick you. You picked yourself? I'm proud of you. There isn't a next one. You guys are going to represent the whole group and the list. Yeah, so I'm not doing 4 different people. All right, line up. My 4 people, line up. I'm missing 1 person. Kind of a line. Thank you. Come on, fellas. I think I only had 4 groups, right? You have a rep, right? Or was there 5? Excellent. That's fine. No. No. All right. Share your psalms.
For praise, we camp with Psalm 145 and Psalm 9.
For praise, 145 and 9.
Yes.
Okay. Can you read that?
So the Psalm 145, the Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion for all he has made. All you have made will praise you, O Lord. Your saints will extol you.
Excellent. So do you see how that's praise? Do you see how the whole thing is, the focus is him? Right? All right. What are your other groups?
For wisdom, we had Psalm 104:24 as well.
104:24.
Mm-hmm. As well as Psalm 37:30.
All right. Read.
Oh, I didn't have a single one queued up on my phone.
I have 34 right here, I think. Because it happens to be one of my favorites. 37? Oh, no. We'll see who's faster. Which way are you going, 37 or 104?
Oh, I was doing 104.
Okay, go for it. You got it?
Oh, no. I'm not the faster typer.
All right, I got 37. 3730 says this, y'all. Have you guys read 37? If you have not read 37, you will be inspired. 3730. Really? This is 101?
3730.
Okay. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Amen? So I hope you're writing these psalms down. What's your other two, thanksgiving and lament?
For thanksgiving, Psalm 50, verse 4.
50, verse 4. Mm-hmm. All right, and what's for lament?
And that one was Psalm 22, and then we also had 43 and 13.
So let's talk about thanksgiving. 50, verse 4.
You want me to read that one?
Yep, you got it.
He summons the heavens above and the earth that he may judge his people. Gather me this consecrated people who made a holy covenant with me, and the heavens proclaim his righteousness. For he's a God of justice.
He is the God of justice. I'm going to read 43:13. Okay? Lament. Sorrow. Are you? 22.
My God, why have you forsaken me?
Yeah. My God, why have you forsaken me? Has anybody felt that way? Like, I was going to read it, like, loud. As soon as I read it, oh, Father, why? You can feel the pain of the people. The feeling of being abandoned by the Father, the one who created. Why? You can be in such sorrow, such torment, that it feels like he has left you. Why are you far from me? Why are you far from helping me? And the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and not silent, I am not silent. There are times when we feel that despair. There are times when we feel like he can't hear us, nor is he answering. Like, where are you? Where are you in this situation? Because I don't know what to do with it. I need you. Help me. There are some days we just feel like that. It's despair. It's sorrow. That was a great one. Amen. All right, my next little group. Thank you. You can have a seat. Thank you. Go ahead.
Just read them all the way down through.
Thanks. Tell me your Thanksgiving one.
For Thanksgiving, we had 138, 139, and 100.
Well, let's look at 100 because I gave you 138. Do you have it open? Do you have any of it open? I can get to it.
Okay.
100, Psalm 100. I want you to know that I'm not being dramatic. Like, literally, when I heard her say, my God, there's power in his words. And he will let us feel and hear his heart's cry. A song of praise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures in all generations. Amen? All right, read me the rest of your list. I want you guys to write these down because I'm not going to have time to read them all.
Okay, for praise, we had 95, wisdom, 39, and lament, 77.
Write them down, my people. Read them between now and next week, okay? Who's next, Phyllis?
Okay, for praise, we had Psalms 150.
Okay.
Wisdom, Psalms 18. Thanksgiving, Psalms 103.
Mm-hmm.
Lament, Psalms 10.
Okay. Who's next? Tell me your name.
Hi, I'm Michelle Dankenberger.
Michelle, okay.
That's my husband, Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. All right, give us yours.
We had Psalm 40.
For what? What category?
Sorry, for praise.
Okay.
We had Psalm 40. For wisdom, we had Psalm 1.
Okay.
Because we started at the beginning of Psalms, even though you gave it to us. Thanksgiving, we had Psalm 95, verse 2. And lament, we had Psalm 28, verse 8.
28:8. And 95:2. Okay, who's next? Tell me your name. Jennifer, Jessica, Jennifer.
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 Correct.
Amen.
For praise, we had Psalm 103. For thanksgiving, we had Psalm 92. For wisdom, we had Psalm 131. And for lament, we had Psalm 56.
56. Awesome. Thank you so much. You guys can have a seat. Excellent. Write these down, y'all, because it'll help you get familiar with what they are, okay? If you'd like to go back to your seats, you're free to do that now. All right? So let's talk about, because I am running out of time fast. Who wrote the Psalms? Who wrote the Psalms?
David.
Who else? Somebody. Moses, who else? Huh? Did I hear Solomon? Right? But listen to this, y'all. King David only wrote 73 Psalms. Okay? Moses wrote one. So we're at 74. Remember? 150. And Solomon wrote two. So we're at 76. David, they say 73, but there might be two more attributed to him, okay? Moses, one. Solomon, two. So let's say he's really 75. So we're at 78, okay? How many psalms did that leave? Thank you, math whizzes. So who wrote them? Because all growing up, all I knew was this, that David wrote the psalms. That's all I knew. So I was like, okay. Now, you know, if you go through your Bible, it'll say, a psalm of David. A psalm of David, right? But it also gives you a clue if your Bible is ordered that way, who else wrote the rest of the Psalms. And I think I heard Phyllis over here say Asaph. Asaph. Is that name familiar to you? A-S-A-P-H. A-S-A-P-H. He and his sons were ordained by David to lead the people in worship. And they were recommissioned when Nehemiah rebuilt the wall. So if you're going to be in worship, what you going to need? What you going to need? Psalms. What are these? Songs. What are poems? What are songs? Songs are poems set to music. So if you got someone who's going to be leading worship, they got to write something. The Lord's going to put something in their hearts, right? Okay. Also, the sons of Korah. Sorry, my handwriting stinks right now, but y'all get it, right? Okay. So Korah rebelled against Moses, and the earth swallowed him up. Consequences to your actions, right? Because God is just God. So he doesn't get to write, but his sons do. His sons do. Okay? Now, here we go. Heman. Heman. A wise man who co-authored the 88th Psalm with the sons of Korah. Sometimes we need somebody to come alongside us. Sometimes somebody has more wisdom in areas that we don't. Amen? Sometimes God will put a song in someone else's heart about the same subject. That's why community is important. There's no competition in the body. There's community in the body. Amen? Ethan. I know you guys are like, can she write somewhere else? The Ezraite. Okay. All we know is he was a famous wise man. Look in 1 Kings 4:31. He points to the fact that Solomon's wiser than him. Okay? So these are also authors of the Psalms. And I always thought it was David. 150 chapters. Do you know how many verses there are? 2,461 verses. Yeah, right? 2,461. What's the longest psalm? 119, 179 verses. Shortest psalm? 117, very good, two verses. Praise the Lord, all ye people, right, if you're in the King James. I'm in the New King James. Praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him, all you peoples. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. It's much shorter than King James. Two verses. 179 verses long as two shortest, right? Here's what I want to know. And y'all can't get this wrong. What's the most known psalm in the Bible? Say it. 23. If unchurched people know 23. Trust me, I was unchurched forever. I knew Psalm 23. My grandmama knew it. She made sure we knew it. We live across from a church, and we did not go there. But we knew Psalm 23. Now, who has a version they like? Besides New King James, besides NLT, because we hear those all the time. I have one I love. I'm an Amplified Bible person. So I love Amplified, but tonight I have The Voice. I know it's a TV show, but it's also a translation. So I have it in New King James. New King James, right? Everyone can repeat it. The Lord is, I shall not. He makes me to lie down. He leads me beside. He restores Amen. He leads me into the paths of for his name's sake. Isn't that interesting? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. For his name, not for me. I can't even get stuck there, y'all. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, I will. Very good. For you are? Amen. Your rod and your staff? Amen. Let's finish it. You prepare a table? Yep. You anoint my head? Amen. My cup? Thank you, Lord. Surely shall follow me all, and I will. Amen. Not hard at all. Now, you take a little time and you begin to break those things down like he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Come on, Jesus. Really? Yeah, come on. Sorry. I'm going to read it now in the voice, which I love. I just want to make sure I have it in paper. Or, you know, I'm electronic, so I can do that too. And sometimes I read it, sometimes I read scripture in different translations because it hits me differently. Like, for instance, I don't know who the group was last week, and you were doing the exercise for Pastor Pascal, and someone said that he is stability. Me and Pastor Harry almost got up and ran. It hit us so personally. It was power. You guys are just reading. He is stability. Oh, we wanted to run, y'all. So that's why sometimes I read in different translations, because it'll just hit me differently. And I love the voice. I found the voice maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago, and it's just precious. So here we go. The Eternal is my shepherd. He cares for me always. Not a deadbeat dad. Doesn't neglect me. Doesn't matter what I feel like, y'all. The word says he cares for me always. He's not leaving me. I may walk from him, and then I may feel alone, but that's the consequence of what? My action. He says he cares for me always, even when I mess up, because always is always. He provides me rest in rich green fields, beside streams of refreshing water. Is there anything better than getting a drink of refreshing water, like right when you need it? Sweaty, hot, tired. It's just like sunshine, right? He soothes my fears. Oh, this is so good, y'all. He makes me whole again. How many of us don't feel whole? Yeah. But he can make you whole again. Steering me off worn and hard paths. He's going to help me get away from the stuff that's bringing me down by getting me off the bad path. And when he does that, he's going to make me whole. And he's going to steer me to roads where truth and righteousness echo his name. Like you can't even be on the street without knowing that there's righteousness there, that there's truth there. Echoes his name. Even in the unending shadows of death's darkness, and many of us have been there, and death has been at our door, or the doors of people we love, I'm not overcome by fear. Why am I not? Because he cares for me always. Because you are with me in those dark moments, near with your protection and your guidance, I'm comforted. In the midst of it, I have peace because of who you are. You're protecting me and you're guiding me. Because here's what it says. It says, I'm not overcome by fear. That doesn't mean you're not afraid. It means it's not going to take you over. It's not going to cause you to go to bed and not want to get up. It's not going to cause you to jump off the hill. You're going to be afraid, but his guidance and protection is going to keep you. You spread out a table before me, provisions in the midst of the attack from my enemies. You're in the middle of an attack, and he's still providing for you what you need. Now, let me say this. May not look like what you think you need, but he knows what you have need of. Amen? You care for all of my needs, anointing my head with soothing, fragrant oil, filling my cup again and again with your grace. Let me tell you a little story about grace. I was in Bible school, and there was a great pastor, and he has a church down in Missouri now. And he was a musician and, you know, sang a whole bunch of psalms. And so one day he was talking to the Lord, and he said, he did healing school for the school that I went to. And one day he said, Lord, teach me about grace. Be careful what you ask for. So he goes to the piano like he did every day, every school year, for the last 15 years. He sits down at the piano, can't play anything. Nothing. He knows hundreds of songs. He's done it year after year, 20 years. He's sitting at the piano. Nothing. No, the Lord said to him, now you understand grace. Without it, you can do nothing. He fills my cup over and over again with grace. Certainly, your faithful protection and loving provision will pursue me where I go, always and everywhere. He's always trying to protect you. He's always trying to provide for you. And you think you're running to him, but really what's happening is he's running to you. He's running after you. He's trying to pursue you and give you. And what I love about pursuit, proof of desire is in the pursuit. He desires relationship with you. He desires to provide for you. He desires to protect you. He's pursuing you. I will always be with the eternal in your house forever. That is the end of Psalm 23 in the voice. It blesses me. It speaks to me in ways that my memorized King James Version of the 23rd Psalm just doesn't. That's what's so great about God. He's finding new ways all the time to get you to understand his word and who he is and what he does. Right? That's the great thing about him. You know what? I'm just going to close. There's much more. There's 150 Psalms, y'all. Y'all can find things that speak to you. Y'all can find things that, you know, in your day of trouble. I mean, really, my go-to, Psalm 27. It's my go-to. And I have it for all kinds of reasons. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? It goes on and on and on, but this part really gets me. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That means I want to know him. I just want to know him better. That's what it means. And inquire in his temple. I want to ask all kinds of questions. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high up on a rock. I'm going to be protected. Verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me as such breathe out violence. I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Everything's not for the sweet by and by. We should see the goodness of the Lord here. Otherwise, what makes Christians different from anybody else? Nothing. We should see goodness in the land of the Lord living. And sometimes it does feel like you lose heart because you don't see it. Doesn't mean he's not on the job. But we can tell him that. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Wait for him. It doesn't just mean this. All right, I'm waiting. No. It means this. Thanksgiving, praise, recognizing who he is. Spending time with him. Father, you know, sometimes when I'm like, I don't see it, I'm like, Father, you are who you said you are. I'm not moved. You are who you said you are. I believe you. I trust you. I wanted it 10 days ago, but I still believe you. You are who you said you are. Right? He hasn't changed. So it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Father, strengthen my heart, because I am struggling. This is hard for me. Right? Wait, I say, on the Lord. Find you a psalm. Find you five psalms. Find you a psalm for every week of the year that speaks to your heart, that speaks to where you are, to what's happening. I love that the writers of the psalms could just be like, hey, I'm done. I want to quit. This is too hard. But they say it in such language like, I would have perished if I had not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Sometimes we feel like we're perishing or we want to. There's nothing wrong with that. But then you got to come back and remind yourself not who you are, but who he is and what he does. Amen? You guys have been fabulous. I'm going to end early because I just feel like